Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Obataya takes on Noel McCallion. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
202 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, it is after hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Now, before we went to break, I had mentioned that Ben Rice is just off to an incredible start. He's the MVP of the American League. He's just been ridiculous. He's been better than Judge. He's been better than everybody. That's why I would, a month into the year, make him the AL MVP. So I heard from somebody on Twitter, Gary, who said Murakami of the White Sox is the MVP. Now, he's off to an incredible start, and he's leading the league in home runs, 13. But number one, his team is under 500, and the Yankees are well over 500 at this point. 12 to be exact. And when you compare the numbers, I mean, they're just not even close. I mean, Rice's average is 343. Murakami's 223. Ben Rice is first in OPS. Murakami is 13th. Rice has more RBIs, and he has one less home run. So Ben Rice basically has him in every single category but one, and he's only trailing by one home run. And his team is way better. So I would say Ben Rice is the MVP. Now, having Aaron Judge certainly helps, and that's why it's tough to not make Aaron Judge the MVP every year. Because if you took Aaron, as great as I think Ben Rice is, if you took Aaron Judge out of the lineup, Ben Rice is not going to be seeing the pitches that he's seeing. It's going to be a lot tougher for him to put up the numbers that he's putting up. But he would still be putting up great numbers. But no, Murakami's he's been incredible. And look, the Mets could have had him. The Yankees could have had him. So many teams around the league could have had him, and not for a high price either. You know, credit to the White Sox for getting him, because anybody in the league could have, and how many teams passed on him, and the White Sox scooped him up. But the Yankees could have had him. Imagine having Judge, Rice, and Murakami in the middle of that order. And obviously the Mets certainly could use the power for Murakami as well, and obviously some stability over there at first base. Now, Vientos, and we'll get to the Mets coming up in a sec, but Vientos had the two home runs, and he's going through it defensively. He had the one the other night that literally went right through his glove, essentially. But he did have the two home runs. Now he's going to Colorado, a place where you know you can have some offensive production, although weather-wise, it's hideous. If you're unaware, the Met game, which was scheduled for later on in the evening, obviously, because they're out on the West Coast. But now, because there's ice in the forecast, they've moved the game up to 5:40. So the Met game later on tonight will be at 5:40, which is good for people like Paul and Yonkers, who's asleep by 9 o'clock at night. Paul will actually be able to see a full Met game for the first time, other than a day game over the weekend. Paul and Yonkers, he wakes up and listens to me and says, oh, did the Mets win or lose? You know, he's usually in bed by 9. And I'm probably being generous with the 9 o'clock. By the way, speaking of Paul and Yonkers, and I thought about this on Saturday, because we never got to it, and a few people hit me up on social media. So Paul called me last week and said he had a tip in the Derby. Had a tip. Or he had a play. Maybe that's what it was, a play. And we never got to it. And the horse that won was 30-1. 30-1. That better not have been the horse that Paul played. Not good for him, but bad for me and bad for the audience, because we would have played it. I mean, if you can't trust Paul in Yonkers for his tips on horses, who the heck are you going to trust? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours, Loogie in the Late Night. Speaking of Paul and Yonkers, Paul, did you have this horse that hit 30-1? Please tell me you didn't.
Buddy, I didn't. I had six other horses.
Six? How many horses were in the race? What do you mean you had six horses? How many horses? Well, yeah. Would you have half the field?
Well, what I was going to tell you, not to bore everybody, you couldn't bet the one and you couldn't bet the 17. They both couldn't win, so you could have bet anything you want.
Got it.
So I fooled around with a bunch of other horses.
But you didn't have the horse that hit at 30-1, though. Okay, well, listen, I'm not rooting for you to lose, buddy, but if you had that piece of information and I kept it from me and the audience, I would have felt bad about it, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, I hit it, even though I didn't.
No, you're an honorable man.
I had other numbers. As long as I didn't have the one at 17, I would have told you bet anything you wanted to bet. So that's that. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
I went to go see my boy Pete yesterday for the first time at Yankee Stadium.
Yes. How'd it go?
And that's the first time since Mickey Mantle Day, when I was 15 years old.
So it's been 85 years since you've been there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I went, and everything was great. Wonderful seats until the game started. These people acted like they never ate before. I was getting up and down, up and down. They never sat to watch the game. They didn't care.
You're saying the people that were in your section or in your row kept getting up to get food and go to the bathroom, thus obstructing your view, and you couldn't watch Pete Alonso play baseball?
They came back with buckets. I think it was chicken.
Well, the chicken buckets are a huge hit. They're a huge hit. Now they have the dessert chicken buckets there, which I still want to try.
0 degrees there. By the time it came back with chicken, this thing had to be disgustingly cold.
0 degrees? It's not Antarctica. What are you talking about? It was like 56, 70 degrees.
It was cold, man.
Nah, but it wasn't. Come on. It wasn't the frozen tundra.
It was on the field. It wasn't on the people. And
but what does that have to do with eating ice cream or chicken?
I was freezing. But I had to get up every half inning. They wouldn't stop. Sit down for fun. They're all wearing 99 shirts. Judged all over the place. The guy is getting up. I'm even excited to see him. They're all getting up to go eat. And they're online for 3 innings.
Well, but hold on, Paul. A couple things. Well, number one, the lines could be long, so it's not the, it is what it is. It's obviously the place is packed. You got to understand this, Paul. I know you haven't been to it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of fans that's their one game a year, and they want to experience everything that you could experience at a Yankee game, which includes the food, includes everything that comes with a baseball game. Not every fan is like you, Paul. Not every fan is like Evan, who packs a lunch. You know, a little PB&J with the crust cut off. You know, not everybody brings up. Paul and Yonkers bringing a bologna sandwich to the game. A lot of people want to go there. They want to drop some fajoules. Yeah, but what you didn't eat? What you didn't eat?
No.
What do you mean no?
It's not.
I even figured you have to eat every 15 minutes, Paul. You tell me you went hours without.
Tommy,
you didn't eat.
Where's the guy with the thing with the hot dog? He never came around.
I don't know.
Where's that guy?
Do they still have the hot dog people? I thought you just basically take your cell phone out and you call and somebody's at your seat 5 minutes later. I didn't think the hot dog here, beer here. I didn't think those guys were around anymore. The vendors?
No. And the other thing was when I was trying to get a ticket, I'm looking for will call. There's no such thing. I had to do it. I had a friend of mine come to put it on his phone because I don't have an email.
Paul, you gotta have an email. You gotta have an email. You gotta have an email.
No, you don't.
You just had an experience today where, Paul, you got, I don't know who could hook you up, but you gotta get an email. So it's 2026. I'm not saying you have to have a high tech cell phone or you have to have crazy things in your life technology wise, but I do think, and I would recommend that you have an email. It's just, it's not even the wave of the future. It's the past now. I mean, you can have an AOL account. Some people do, but you gotta get an email. We gotta get you an email, Paul.
Okay. Let's go back to the stadium.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, how'd it go with Pete? You watched Pete all day. Were you satisfied with the production?
He got a double. He hit a homer Friday, Saturday when I couldn't go. He didn't hit a homer, but he went 2-for-4. I was happy.
He had a good series. Yeah.
Yes. We got one more game today, and I'm happy. I'm happy what he did. But I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
I'm used to watching the games on TV. The guy wouldn't stop playing the music.
The sound effects and the music has been a touchy subject. You're not alone there. A lot of Yankee fans are sick of it. The story is that a lot of the players want it to sound like a basketball game. You're at Madison Square Garden, so they like the sound effects and the music. I get it, Paul. You're not there for the chicken buckets. You're not there for the sound effects. You're not there for all that type of stuff. And you were there for Pete Alonso.
I'm there for the ball game.
You're there for the ball game.
Does anybody care?
Yes, they care. But again, Paul, a lot of people are there for everything that has to do with the experience and not just sitting there and watching the ball game. But here's the bottom line, Paul. We got to get you an email. We
got
to find out what happened to the hot dog guys.
It goes to a friend of mine.
What do you mean it goes to a friend of yours? What do you mean it goes to a friend? You have a friend of yours that has an
email?
Oh, stop. Stop.
I swear, she had my email. If anything ever comes to the point, she calls me, hey, listen, you got this.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul, let me ask you a question here before I let you go. We have a little situation going on here where if the Mets don't make the playoffs, I owe some drinks for some of the fellas. Do you want to come get a drink with us, or you're not into that whole scene? Because you were invited. I don't know if you want to. I don't want to speak for you. You know.
You know, I don't want to show my face around.
What do you mean you don't want to show your face around? What does that have to do?
I don't want anybody to see who I am.
What do you mean, who are you? What do you mean? You're not who you seem? What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean? You want to show your face around here?
I'm having more fun not knowing, letting people know who I am.
Are you Evan Roberts? Paul, I believe you're not Evan. Okay, you're not Evan Roberts.
Look.
You're Paul Yonkers.
Craig invited me to do a half hour. He wants me to come in and sit with him and push.
But you won't do because you don't want to show your face. What are you, a magician?
Yeah.
What
you... yeah. Well, listen, I have my reasons.
I respect that. But Paul, there are people that think that. Some people think you're Evan, but you're not Evan Roberts.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm.
Are you Brian Cashman?
Brian Cashman.
This is not Brian Cashman. Wait, meaning like, are you Brian Cashman and he just pretends to be Paul in Yonkers and calls up the show? This is actually Paul who lives in Yonkers, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, okay. Yeah. So, Paul, I'm gonna put you down for a maybe that you're gonna come get a drink. Just a maybe. I don't want to be a bad guy. No, we're pals. I don't want you to feel like you're left out of it. You know, we're all gonna get a drink in Queens.
We're pals that needs a third party to meet each other. So let's not forget that.
What do you mean needs a third party to meet each other? What are you talking about?
You brought it up. I wanted to make a bet for you and then give you the dupe, and you want me to send one of my boys.
Yeah, I don't want to meet you in an alleyway with you with a brown paper bag or something. Yeah, that's why. I wanted to send a buffer up there. I want to send one of my lackeys. I'll send Rosenberg up there. I'm not going to meet you in an alleyway, Paul, with money in a bag.
Yeah, I'll send one of my boys. You send one of your
of course.
Boys. We'll never meet. That's cool.
You don't want to show your face, Paul? I don't want to show my face, all right? That's how it is. But I just want to invite you for a drink. That's all.
I don't drink. I'm a gambler.
All right. Well, you didn't have to actually have the drink. I understand that. But it was more of a gesture, Paul. That's all.
Yes. I know. I'll have a Diet Coke.
Right.
If that won't annoy you,
I don't care.
That's
what you do.
My dream.
I don't care. Is there anything else I could do for you, Uncle Lewis? Or are we done here with the conversation? Feels like we're done.
No, I'm happy. Well, I'm disappointed that the Yankees didn't do anything.
What do you mean?
I was hoping for.
You think the Yankees should have done something for Pete?
Yeah, they should have did the roll call. I wish I could have gotten in touch with whatever those people are.
The Bleacher Creatures. Well, you don't have an email. How are you going to get in touch with anybody, Paul? You have no way to communicate with the outside world, and you don't want to show your face to anybody. So the whole thing is a thing.
Yeah. And then I was disappointed that there was no Met fans anywhere. Nobody had Met. No, nobody went.
They're Met fans, number one, and number two, they're home. At some point, they want to watch the Met game. Now, I know they didn't start at the exact same time, but they're Met fans. It's not like Pete came back to. I understand he's coming back to New York, but it's not like he was back at Citi Field. Look, I respect you for what you did there, Paul. It was a nice gesture. It sounds like you had a wonderful time, and I'll put you down for a maybe for the drink. I'll put you down for a maybe. There are people that think you're Evan. At least if you're not Evan, that's cool. We're all good. I don't want to put you out. I don't want to put you out. Like, but if you come do the show with Craig, or if you want to meet us out for a drink, and it's more about the just me paying debts up with the Mets, that's all. More than just having a drink. So you can have a Diet Coke, I don't care what the hell you have. You have one of those virgin drinks, that's all good. Doesn't matter to me. But if you don't want to show your face in public, I'm cool with that as well, Paul. All good. But I figured I would extend the invitation, because the invitation was extended to you, to me. So I wanted to pass that along to you. But no, come on, Paul. It was nice that you showed up. But I'm not stunned that there weren't Met fans there. It's not a Met game. And people like to get up and get food. It's part of the experience. I've been to games all the time where you're just like, man, all they're doing is eating. But some people go for the eating. They'll watch a little baseball. They'll have a little food. They'll have a couple brewskis. It's a day out. And there's some people that just want to watch the ball game, as you would put it. And in that situation, you hope that they don't, you know, what are they doing, though? I mean, they walk in front of you like 2 or 3 times. I mean, is it that big of a deal for a couple seconds? There's enough downtime in baseball where that's not that big of a deal. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Does anybody know, has anybody in their life ever heard of the word pulchriduinos or whatever that word was that Gary Cohen brought out? I mean, what the heck? What was that? To describe the bench catch? I've never heard of that word in my life. Pulchriduinos? I think that's how he said it. It's like, geez, that's something I feel like when you go to the doctor, they're like, unfortunately, you have pulchriduinos. I'm like, geez, really? I quit smoking years ago. What is this? I've never heard of that word before. But I will say that was an incredible catch by Bench. He's now had a couple this year that have been catches of the year. He's had that one in the ninth, that was pulchriduinos. Was sensational. Zeal did a way better job of repeating it. Now, maybe Zeal's heard that word before. I literally have never heard of it. Most people probably haven't, but I've never in my life have heard that word before. That was some pull by Gary. But the catch was insane. Ben just showed, and he had a couple catches in the game, but that one was really highlight reel, just season-long highlight reel worthy. And he's had two...
Pulchritudinous play.
It was like Gorilla Monsoon when he used to get hit in the back of the head. He had a cervical protuberus, he used to call it. Something like that, if you're an old wrestling fan.
Pulchritudinous.
A pulchritudinous play. What a pull.
Want to try to spell it?
Yeah, pulchritudinous. P-U-L... C-H-R-I-E-N-O-U-S. How close was I? Did I get one letter right?
You started off really well.
Okay, there you go. But then I
think you kind of rushed it. If you sat down and really thought about it, you got the first half right.
P-U-L, I got right. Pulchriduinous. C-H, I think that was...
Pulchritudinous.
So C-H-R-I-T. P-U-L-C-H-R-I-T. T-E-N-I-O-U-S.
No, pulchritudinous.
Oh, so there's a D in there
so
as well?
So you have the pulchrit, right? And then it's tudinous.
Tudinous. So like T-U-D-U-N-I-S?
I-N-O-U-S.
I-N-O-U-S. Got it. Man, never heard that word in my life. Still don't even know what the heck it means. It's got to be something nice. I mean, it was a great catch. Pulchritudinous. Amazing.
The definition online?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Hard to argue with that one. It was a beautiful
breathtakingly
catch.
Beautiful or physically stunning when you'd expand it.
Right. So it was the Sidney Sweeney of catches. I understand. You know, it was. I mean, it was absolutely, it was incredible. Absolutely amazing catch. And Benj, like I said, has had two of those already this year. Both, I think, in fact, were Polk-ridididis. Polk-ridididis. Hey, listen. At this stage, you won a couple of games, maybe Polk-ridididis becomes Grimace. You never know. You can wear shirts that say poker, or you could just come as the Webster Dictionary. Because I know I'm not alone. I would venture a guess. Not because I just think it's such an advanced word. 1% of the audience watching ever heard that word before or knew the definition. 1%. Has to be. I've been on the planet 40 years. I've never heard that word. Now, I get it. I'm not exactly a Rhodes Scholar, but I mean, I got to ask Eddie when he comes in. Yes, that is the word Polk-ridididis. And he'll give me the whole origin of it. If Scazzeri has never heard of that word, you know Dukes is going to spend 30 minutes on this on the warm-up show. He's never heard of the word before. There's no shot. Jerry has never heard of it either. Neither one of them heard of this word. No chance. Marash probably thinks this is a type of cheese dip. Polk-ridididis. And we'll get more into the Mets coming up a little later on. Not only the report that Tony DeComo had over the weekend, which I was way ahead of. Not that I have any insider information. I have a good feel for what's going on with the Mets. And that, of course, is the status of both Mendoza and Stearns. We'll get into that coming up. We'll get into the weekend that was with the Mets. More of your calls, of course, on the Knicks as they get ready for game one against the Sixers later on this evening. That will tip at 8 o'clock. Of course, the Yankee game will be heard here on The Fan, then the post game, then I'll have you with After Hours with reaction to the Knicks, to the Yankees, and the Mets, who are playing earlier than they were scheduled because of ice in Colorado. Ice. The only thing that should be iced in Colorado right now is the ice in beer, not on the field. And there's snow later in the week. I'm sure Keith is thrilled, Hernandez, and we wish Keith the best, and we're glad that he's back. Obviously, the issues with the back, and he had to get surgery. This is his first series back in the booth. I can't find another word besides back. It feels like, I feel like Gary could have a little fun with that tomorrow too. You're back here, you're back there, you're back there. Did I mention back 600 times? Your back is bad. But Keith is back because his back was bad and he was out, but now he's back. But he's going to be watching a game with ice. Like it's the Winter Olympics in May. And I know the weather out in Colorado is very up and down. Like you could have one day in the 90s and the next day 16 feet of snow on the ground. Polk could do it in this. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mary is in Brooklyn. What's up, Mary?
Yeah, hi. Hey. Sorry, Tom.
What's up?
I don't think I ever laughed in my life. Polk could do this is definitely a word I'll be using in my upcoming writing assignment.
You should. If I was still in a situation in my life where I was writing, I would have definitely taken this word and I would have wrote it down so that whoever read it thinks I'm like the smartest person alive because it is in fact a word. Have you ever heard of it before? I've never heard of this word. Polk-ridididis.
Really not. I think that Boone has finally done something smart in his life.
Well, I wouldn't matter about his life. Minor. I mean, he's done some smart things in life. But as Yankee manager. Yeah. And his time
I'm obviously exaggerating.
A little facetious, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another big word. Facetious. You could use that word, too.
The test for Caballero being such an electric player. Mm-hmm. I think visually, he wears that yellow sleeve, and it's just so much more appealing. It makes it much more like electric, and he's just like standing there like, whoa.
Yeah, it adds a little sizzle, and I'm one for the neon colors. I like that. It adds a little personality. Like, sometimes, like I said, the Yankees could be, and I understand it, but their players could be a little button-up, a little corporate. It adds a little bit of life to the team and a little bit of energy, and that's what Caballero brings, for sure. Whether it's the gear, whether it's the style he plays, the speed, all of that type of stuff. That's why he should be out there, and the Yankees, to your point, made the right decision in keeping him at shortstop and sending Volpe down.
Yeah, that's right. Before I get into that point about Rice, I just want to know, have you ever heard of Dalton Rushing, the backup catcher on the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Okay, so that player gets me so nervous. He's just he's classless. Because MLB.com keeps on coming out with these articles like every 5 days about something that he did, something so like, something that he said. I don't know if you ever saw those articles, but He's just so classless.
Yeah, I saw something recently where he's trying to change the bad dude rap. Now, is this something that you're just... Because I know, Mary, you have... You kind of like a lot of random players throughout the league. Isn't your favorite player Hunter Goodman that's not on the Yankees, right? Didn't you tell me that like about a week or so ago? Is this one of those situations where the story just came your way, or this is just another player that you followed through the years?
No, I don't follow him, but there's a YouTube channel called Made the Cut. It's like a breakdown.
Got it.
And he did a video on Dalton Rushing about, he said, about like John Hooley when he tagged him out at home. He's like, F'd him on the way back to the dugout. And I was just like, this player is disgusting. And no, I never liked him. I don't like the Dodgers, not like a single Dodger.
So no, I understand that. I mean, obviously, coming from a Yankee fan's perspective, that would be a tough sell. I mean, of course, but I didn't know. Because sometimes people just, if they're on your fantasy team where you just randomly like guy. Although, if you tell me with the bad rap, I could see where he'd be a total... a turnoff as a player. Look, you're going to have you know this, Mary, watching sports. Sometimes you have guys that you can root for and you can, appreciate, and then there's other guys that maybe sometimes they're misunderstood, or maybe they're just bad guys. You don't know, but the sports world is full of both.
Yeah. Like, I know everyone's not going to be like Judge, but I feel like it's just a nice
Yeah, guy. No, Aaron Judge is the face of the New York Yankees. Like, he not only carries just the 99ers back, he carries the franchise. You're mm-hmm. talking about the most successful and biggest franchise in the history of sports. Like, Aaron Judge, I think he's like this anyway, but he has to conduct himself in a certain way because he represents a global brand, the biggest brand there is. So he has to, I think he's like that anyway, but it's also important to carry that type of personality, that leadership, that class, that he does just brilliantly,
Yeah, I know my time is limited, so I'm just going to get to my Rice point really quickly.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know why anybody's comparing Rice to Murakami. I know Murakami's really good, but it seems like every time he gets a hit, it's a homer. And besides that, he's just not getting hit.
Rice is batting about 120 points higher. Yeah. Brent Rice is batting like 343, give or take.
Yeah, and if you're going by what, let's say the baseball season was 1 month, and after you choose MVP, and it seems like just Justin and Cal Raleigh all over again. And I know Rice has, Rice has one last homer, and it's not comparable.
So you think Ben Rice and Murakami could be this year's Judge and Raleigh?
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying just like right now, I think he's going to win MVP again. Obviously, he doesn't take a step up.
Yeah.
But I think, right now, the season ended now, and you're saying, oh, who's it going to be, Murakami or Rice? Because right now I think that would be the conversation. Then I think Rice just outplayed him.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely, Mary. Better stats. Sorry to cut you off. I thought you were done there. My bad. Yeah, the stats are better. Obviously, the team record that he's on is better. Ben Rice, the only name that you can give me that you'd say, well, Ben Rice is in the MVP, it's Aaron Judge, with the argument being, Ben Rice is not going to put up these numbers if he's not playing on the same team as Judge. And certainly now, hitting in front of Judge, he's going to see better pitches. So I understand that argument. But then in that case, you give Aaron Judge the MVP every year, which shouldn't be a reason not to give it to him. Like, we talk about this all the time in basketball, when there's like a great player that's dominating the league, it's always, well, you can give him the MVP every year. Well, I mean, if he deserves it, if he's the most valuable player, then he should get the MVP. And it's tough to find a guy in the American League more important to his team than Aaron Judge. I took a call last week. Somebody asked me, look, if Judge went down, do you think Rice could carry the team? I'm like, it's one thing to be putting up the numbers Ben Rice is along with Aaron Judge there, the support of Aaron Judge. You take Aaron Judge out of that lineup, off that team, and now you have to be the guy. Not saying that Ben Rice can't handle it. We don't know. But it's a tall order. It's not easy. That's what separates sometimes the great ones from the legendary ones from the great ones, or whatever the case may be. And it's a giant leap if you're Rice to go from where he is now to a team that, even if Judge were to miss time and he'd be the guy, it just changes the type of pitches you're going to see, the type of pressure that's on you. If the team starts not scoring as many runs, they're going to look to you because of your numbers that you were putting up when Judge was there. And that's not to take anything away from Ben Rice. I think he's incredible. I literally, and we have proof of it, thankfully, there's a video out there, that I said Ben Rice was going to hit 40 home runs. And at this point, I think I shortchanged him. Because he's well on his way to cruising past 40 home runs. Cruising. All-star, you name it. Going to be a major, 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 major coming out party. Even though last year was the start of it, and you could say perhaps that was the coming out party, this is the true Ben Rice coming out party season, as he is putting up numbers that are just off the charts and as good as anybody in baseball. Find me a guy around that has better numbers than him across the board. Look, Murakami's got one more home run, but average OPS, RBIs, he's just got him beat in basically every other category. And he's only trailing him by one home run. So in a day or two, that lead could be completely gone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get more into the Knicks, obviously, with the playoff game coming up later on this evening. But I want to open up the conversation this hour to the Mets. And we'll do it coming up next. But we'll get into the report from Anthony DeComo about the status of not only Carlos Mendoza, but of David Stearns. We'll talk about the weekend that was for the Mets. Everything surrounding the team as they get ready for coming off a series win against the Angels. A series in Colorado as they look to build off of what was a successful weekend. 888-808-1019. That is the number to join the conversation. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code DIFFERENCE for 50% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
236 here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Is perfect steak possible? Discover how at chefiq.com. It was a successful weekend for the Mets as they took two out of three. Should have swept the series, but they took two out of three against the Angels. A step in the right direction. You know, now go out and win another series. Put a couple of series wins under the belt and go from there. On the positive side of things, We brought up Carson Benj and the word that Gary Cohen used to describe his catch, which was, of course, pulchra de gugubis, which was a word that I've never heard of, but apparently it means a beautiful. And it was a beautiful catch that Benj made in the ninth inning. And he's had a couple of them this year where they've been just sensational. He's starting to hit. You're seeing the defense. You're starting to see some of the reasons why Carson Benj was highly thought of in the Mets organization and around baseball. So he's been a major bright spot. Clay Holmes, can't say enough about this guy, how awesome he's been. And I know it's open season on Stearns. I know it's open season on the Mets right now, but you have to credit Stearns for Clay Holmes because he identified him as a player that can transition from a reliever to a starter. Year one was good. I think all things considered, Clay Holmes was good in his first year with the Mets, as good as his first year as a starting pitcher. Year two, a month or so in, he's been incredible. Another strong performance today, ERA 1.35, and he's going deep in the games. Like, he almost got to the seventh inning today. Like, it's no longer five innings. Like, he's going six, seven innings and has a sparkling ERA. And has been, let's be real, the ace of the staff. And the Mets' rotation right now is starting to truly take shape. Obviously, they sent Senga away, IL, whatever the case may be. And now you have, of course, Holmes, who's been brilliant. Peralta, and I get it, the five or six innings, you'd want a little more than that, but you still feel confident every time Peralta's on the mound. He's a pro. He's got good stuff. McClain, we know what the future is for him and the present as well. Like, there's still room to grow, but you feel confident you can win a game when he's on the mound. I thought Christian Scott looked great the other night, especially with the strikeout stuff. Certainly giving you a better effort than what Senga would have given you. And now that leaves Peterson. And the Mets are planning on starting an opener. It won't be Myers because he pitched, but it will be somebody. And Peterson is the one guy in this rotation that you're looking at to turn things around and get back to maybe not the all-star form that he had, although that would be amazing. But this used to be a guy in David Peterson that you trusted. He was a gamer. Like, there was very few people on the Mets, if any, that you would trust more on the mound than him. And he just hasn't been able to find it. Whether it was the second half of last year, certainly down the stretch, and the first month or so of this season. Just can't seem to find it. But if they can tighten it up with Peterson, you're now looking at a starting five with the Mets that can get you excited, that could win you ball games. Peralta, Holmes, McClain, Scott, and if Peterson can turn it around, being the fifth starter, essentially. And if you have to piggyback, if you have to go opener, if you have to do different things to get Peterson going, by all means, by any means necessary at this point, Raley looking really strong again, as he's been their most reliable guy, not named Edwin Diaz, ever since Raley came back from injury last year. AJ Minter should return on this road trip. I think you feel confident with the bullpen, like this entire pitching staff. I think confidence is building, not just the pitchers themselves, but us as fans. Now, as far as the offense, look, Vientos hit a couple of home runs. Benj is starting to hit. You know Soto's going to hit. Bichette, obviously, you expect more, especially with runners in scoring position. And he hasn't been the guy that we all thought was arriving here from Toronto. One of the best all-around hitters in the sport. One of the most clutch, if not the most clutch hitters in the sport. That guy has not shown up yet. I expect him to, but he hasn't shown up yet. And obviously, he came up in some big spots, especially in game two of the series, wasn't ultimately able to get it done. And that was one of the reasons why they weren't able to sweep this series. Another reason, and this is, as far as Mendoza not challenging, that's not just on him. And I don't want to come off like I'm totally defending the guy, because I get it. It's open season on Mendoza, and we'll get to his job status in just 1 second. I know there are a lot of people that are frustrated. There are some that think he's checked out. There is a replay guy on the Mets, though, that says, hey, you should replay this. Now, I'm gonna say it's collectively that they should get it right, meaning if it's a situation like it was on Saturday where it was clear And that was a run, too. Like, they could have kept a run off the board, and ultimately would have, I think, been the difference, obviously, in the game. And the Mets would have won. They would have swept. But that's not on the shoulders of Mendoza. Not fully, at least. Like, he's being told, hey, you should challenge it. You should not challenge it. Like, he could have seen it with the naked eye. But there's a reason you have an eye in the sky to help you out with that stuff. There's enough things you got to worry about. And then you got to worry about that, too, when somebody is designated to look at that and tell you whether or whether or not to challenge it. But then the one today, same thing. But yeah, when it's obvious, but we have the benefit of replay and looking it over and over again, which Mendoza himself doesn't have, but somebody that does is supposed to tell him what to do. And then he makes a decision. And I would assume managers don't override. Like, if somebody says, hey, you should challenge this, I doubt they say, no, we're not going to. Like, you trust the eye in the sky. You trust your people that are looking at this to whether or not you're going to challenge it or not. Now, as far as, but overall, should have been a sweep. Would have been nice to be a sweep. They'd be 3-0 in May. Something to build on. But 2-1 in a series, you take it against the Angels, as far as you take it winning a series. And obviously they battle back in these games, which you like to see. And I know the Angels don't have a great pitching staff, nothing to hang your hat on, but still, you beat bad teams. That's what you're supposed to do. And the only way to dig out of the situation they're in is to beat bad teams. Like, you have to take advantage of the Angels. The Rockies came into Citi Field, swept the Mets, which I think took a lot of the... That was the one, even more than the 12-game losing streak. Like, I was thinking about this today. Because obviously positive Tommy. I don't think I'm alone on the island, but there's not a lot of people on this island with me. Like, I got to walk a while to find somebody on the island. And then I go, oh, someone's here. Like, people literally now on social media will just tag me in positive mess posts. Like, no one, and there are not many, obviously, people posting positive things, but when they do, I get tagged in it, which is nice, but there aren't a lot of positive Mets takes or tweets out there right now. So I'm definitely, if not the only person on the island, there aren't many other people with me. It's me, a volleyball, and maybe two or three other dudes. Two or three other Met fans fighting the good fight. But if they can get healthy, which they have a bunch of guys out, we certainly don't know fully when we're going to get Lindor back or when we're going to see Lindor. And that's a huge, I mean, listen, you lose Soto for, you could say about Luis Robert Jr., you could say about Polanco, they came with injury concerns or injury histories. Soto is a guy that never gets hurt. Lindor never gets hurt. So your two star players that you expect to be in the lineup 158 games in a year, both have missed time in the first month of the year. To go along with Polanco, to go along with Luis Robert Jr., and now Mauricio is out, so you're down to your third shortstop. Obviously, Bichette goes over to short. And Bichette's played a good defense so far this year. Needs to hit, especially with runners in scoring position, and I expect him to do so just based on the track record. And the age. And the incentive. Because if you have a big year, you're going to opt out. Probably going to opt out either way, but you'd have a better shot of getting a bigger contract off a monster season. But as far as the statuses of Mendoza and Stearns, and I talked about this for weeks. Oh, let me just finish off the one point. So I was trying to figure out in my brain, what was the turning point for a lot of Met fans? I don't think it was a 12-game losing streak. I don't. I think it was the series against the Rockies. That broke a lot of people. Because I felt like there was enthusiasm when they took 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Colorado comes into town. They sweep the Mets. And I think that broke a lot of people. That's where I saw even positive people starting to turn. Which I get it. It's not easy being positive when things are like this. You feel like although when they do well and I say things that are going great, people seem to grasp onto that. It's when people like positive Tommy when the Mets are winning. And only when the Mets are winning, which is kind of unfair. So I should only be positive when they're winning games, and when they're losing, I should say nothing? I don't buy that. I think you'd be positive win or loss. Try to find the positives. Or just try to fight the good fight. Doesn't mean you can't point things out that... I know people want to make a lot about the Melendez situation and pinch-hitting Slater, which I brought up last week. You know, there are times where I think you throw the binder out, you manage with your eyes. And Melendez has been one of their best and reliable hitters. Slater just got here. He's got a track record against lefties, but still, I think in that situation, you know, it's one thing if you're 15 games over 500, you're rocking and rolling, you've had a lot of success through the years, and like the Yankees. The Yankees will do things that feels analytically based or just whatever. Aaron Boone will make decisions that people feel like is coming from, this is a better way to put it, Aaron Boone makes decisions that people feel like are coming from Cashman. Well, when you've had the success that they've had regular season-wise and even playoffs and getting there and winning rounds and stuff like that, getting to the World Series a couple years ago, as much as it's frustrating to fans, you could live with it more. When you're in a situation like the Mets, where they did miss October last year and they are currently where they're at right now record-wise, I think riding the hot hand instead of sticking to a certain plan is probably the better course of action. And you're certainly, and look, it's clear that they, because I said this going into, what was it? The series against the Nationals. Because like I said, that series against the Rockies broke a lot of people. And it was fire Mendoza alert. Like it was like it seemingly at its peak. And everybody was expecting him to get fired on the off day. Or then they were expecting him to get fired after the homestand. Neither one happened. But I brought it up before I went away for the weekend here. And by away, I mean just not at the radio station. I didn't really go anywhere. I was home. But I was away from here. I said, Steve Cohen's got to come out and say something. He doesn't have to do a one-on-one interview. He doesn't have to do anything long form. But he does have Twitter. He does have a check mark. So he can write a long statement. And he needs to address the fans. And he needs to talk about Mendoza and Stearns. I think that's because he tweeted a couple of weeks ago about green shoots and trying to find the positives in a negative, which I appreciate as positive, Tommy. So I'm all about that. I do it after every game. So it was nice for Steve Cohen to step up and kind of be arm in arm with positive Tommy for a night. But since then, we haven't heard from him. So I thought it was important that he address everybody and kind of say, all right, this is what's going on. Because fans are pissed. Fans are frustrated. Not only in this season, but they're worried about the future. They're worried about a lot of stuff right now. There's high anxiety amongst my fellow Met fans to go along with high frustration. It's like the combination of both, which is not a combination you want to have. And I could throw all the positivity out there, but a lot of times I'm told to shut up. And I don't own the Mets. So I could do my part, but the owner's got to do his part, who obviously carries way more weight. So whether it was a tweet, whether it was something to one of the reporters, something. Now, we didn't quite get that, but we did get clarification on what was going on and just what's going on with the manager, with David Stearns, sort of what their job security is right now and where they're headed, you know, for the, at least for right now, let's put it that way. So I think that's important. Like, and I talked about this. Memorial Day is my benchmark. You know, that's my checkpoint. If it was me, I would wait till then, kind of see where the season's at, and then go from there. I wouldn't have done anything crazy early on. You know, just give the season a chance to breathe. But this was according to Anthony DeComo. And this is from David Stearns about Mendoza. Quote, we know our record is not what we want, and we know we are capable of more. We don't view this as a manager problem, and we don't intend to make a change. Which is basically what I've been saying for a while. They don't intend to make a change. Now, things can change, but Cohen, his mindset, tweeting out positive things. Stearns has backed up Mendoza every step of the way. Soto vouched for Mendoza. Lindor vouched for Mendoza. They want stability in this organization. Stearns was hired to do a job. Mendoza was hired to do a job. Both are going to continue doing those jobs. Because DeComo went on to say, Steve Cohen has given David Stearns, quote, at least some assurances, end quote, that his job is safe. This is per Anthony DeComo. Mets officials believe in the roster they've constructed and the process that led to them to this point, even if success is not followed. So, both guys were hired to do a job, and Steve Cohen right now wants to see both of them complete that job. Now, is it possible that they hire a general manager to work with David Stearns? Yes. I think that's absolutely in the cards. But that's not something that we're going to see until down the line, whether that's a Carlos Beltran or somebody of that, you know, stature. But you're not seeing that in May. the team they've constructed, and I think they could trade some players, trade four players, I should say, to try to get a bat in here, to try to, and they've already been reports that they're looking for a big bat. But Mendoza and Stearns, as I've been telling you all along, are going nowhere. Whether you agree with that or not, and most of you do not agree with it, that is the situation that is at hand. So it's not one of those things where I eat your broccoli because I told you so, it's good for you. I'm the bearer of bad news. And I've been the bearer of bad news for a while now for a lot of you because you want change. And I get the Phillies record since Mattingly took over, and I understand that if you fire a manager, it could spark a team. They are hoping Mendoza sparks the team. They are hoping he turns this team around, just like he did in 2024. That is the hope. And Stearns, like I said, they could hire somebody else in the offseason to work with Stearns, but David Stearns was brought in here to not only construct the roster that you see in front of you, but also to build up the minor league system, to have the pipeline to this team, to just create a organization and a franchise that doesn't just win one year or just doesn't have one successful season, one that has one year in and year out. And Steve Cohen has to balance that vision, the faith that he has in both of them, or the faith that he has in Stearns, and Stearns has the faith in Mendoza, so therefore Cohen has the faith in Mendoza. He has to balance that vision with my audience, my clientele, are furious. They're pissed. They're ticked. They want blood. They want change. They want a spark. Do I give them that? Do I try for that spark, or do I stick to the plan? Because I believe in the plan. I believe in the people that I've hired to do the job. Now, every man has a breaking point. Obviously, if things get uglier and uglier and uglier, it could force the hand of Steve Cohen. I don't even know if Memorial Day is even in play anymore. This sounds like a situation where, because 12-game losing streak, swept at home to the Rockies. Paint the picture. What, the Yankees crush him in the Subway Series? What would be, and that would be Steinbrenner-esque, where you're just like, oh God, we lost to the crosstown rival. Let's just make major changes. Like, there have been several moments this year where the Mets and any other team, we've already seen the Phillies do it, we've already seen the Red Sox do it. There have been a million situations so far in the first month, coming off of last year too, mind you, where the Mets, Steve Cohen, would have done this by now and fired Mendoza, and they haven't. And if anything, they've stood by him. Now, Stearns didn't meet the media. He just gave it to one reporter. And Cohen hasn't exactly said anything either and really hit the podium or went to Twitter. But they've said enough in their eyes. He's our guy. He's not going anywhere. And in the short term, the team won 2 out of 3. So if anything, Stearns and Cohen are feeling better this morning. Even if you're not feeling better, they're probably feeling better because they got a series win. And they're going to look to build on that for the rest of this road trip. So that's where we're at. And I know that disappoints a lot of people, that frustrates a lot of people, that angers a lot of people. And it's a very anxious, angry time for my fellow Met fans. And I feel that. Don't think I don't. And it is open season on the franchise, not only here on the radio station, which is totally understandable. I get it. Of course, podcasts, social media. Boy, I can't even hit that explore button without the Mets just being the butt of every joke, which is everything that Positive Tommy wants to turn around. And I look, help me help you. The Mets got to play better. Help me help you. But part of my mission is that my fellow Met fans don't get in on the joke and make fun of themselves, because then it's really like, what are we doing here? But I get it. The team has to play better. And the payroll being what it is and the record, the combination of that certainly doesn't help things. But for better or worse, I think they're seeing this through. They being Cohen. Seeing it through. And he's put a lot of his money, a lot of his reputation on the line here. And he, more than anybody, has that to lose. So if he has put that out on the line, We have to see it through. And like I've said a million times, sports is sold on hope. We watch sports for hope. We hope for better days. We hope for better days. And if it doesn't go our way, you hope that the owner makes the necessary changes, or the guys that he hired and he trusted live up to the billing that they had coming into this, which is Stearns, who was successful in Milwaukee. Not the ultimate success, but successful. And that he starts to, you know, earn that reputation. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. We'll get back to all your calls. So if you want to get in on the Knicks, on the Yankees, on the Mets, everything has been on the table for the first couple hours. We still have two more left to go before Al and Jerry and the warm-up show come your way at 5 a.m. That phone number, if you want to join, 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Are you looking for a football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with a fog of analytics or insult your fandom with phony hot takes? I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting for.
Heed the Call covers the entire NFL, not just the same five or six teams you're sick of, delivering news, weekly power rankings, plus previews and recaps of every matchup.
Yes, we cover your team, and we do it with a touch of mirth, because football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.